Good morning, everybody. Man, for those of you at home that cannot come, or maybe you're not comfortable coming, can I tell you something? There's a lot more people starting to show up to the building. It's amazing to see. It's amazing. So welcome, all of you. Thank you for being here. Welcome those of you who are watching online. We recognize that just some people simply aren't comfortable coming back, and then there are others of you who just can't come. Some of you don't even live in our state. Some of you don't even live in the United States. So just thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being a part. It's really an honor to host you. And then to all of you, thanks for just being awesome, like, and just coming. I mean, I like these kind of atmospheres. I like lots of people. I like high fives. I like smiles. I like conversations and laughter. And that's certainly what we get here. So I just appreciate you being you, because it makes the atmosphere better. We're truly better because you're here. Amen. Amen. I'm excited to get into the fourth installment of this series we've been calling Dangerous Prayers. And with that being said, I want to ask everybody, if you would, whether you are at home or in the building, would you just stand, if you can, stand to your feet all across the auditorium, even in your living rooms, perhaps just stand. I want to open with prayer. We have been praying very intentionally as a church. Last night, in fact, we had our 21-day of prayer finale, and my pastor, who's on the front row right here, he used to say this: when something really awesome would happen and people weren't there, he would say, "Hey, if you weren't at the prayer finale last night, you missed it." And I'm just, that's all I'm saying. That's it. I don't want you to feel bad. I'm just saying God was doing a great work in this place last night, and those of us that were here really had an opportunity to just saturate and sit in the presence of God. It was very, very awesome. But I want to start today with prayer as we get prepared to go into part number four and day 22, amen, of our season of prayer. So, Father, we come before you this morning thankful for your goodness, your strength, your power. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for Jesus that gives us the opportunity to know you, to have an opportunity to be in relationship with you, to be sons and daughters of the Most High King. Thank you for being our champion and being victorious. Thank you, Father, that you are for us and that you have plans, purposes, and calls and giftings that you give to your children to advance your message to a world that so desperately is in need of Jesus. This morning, we posture ourselves intentionally. We open up our hearts to receive a word, not from the pastor, but from you, Lord God. I pray that you would simply help me to be a communicator on your behalf. Holy Spirit, I pray you guide my words, guide my speech, so that only what the Father once said is said in this place this morning. God, we just again posture ourselves to receive from you today. And if you agree with that, everybody would say, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. So we're going to get right into part number four of a series that we've been calling Dangerous Prayers. I'm wearing my Dangerous Prayer shirt. I like this thing. It's very cool. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I am enjoying it. But I'm excited to get into this fourth installment. We're going to look today at what I believe is one of the most vulnerable prayer moments in all of Scripture. I think might be the most dangerous prayer of all. Here's what we know about prayer is that God makes promises to us. And here's what he says, that if you call to me, he says, I'll answer you. I'm going to respond. Isn't that nice to know that, like, when we pray to our Heavenly Father, that it doesn't fall deaf, that he actually is listening. And then he says, not only will I answer you, I'm going to show you stuff that's mighty and powerful. I'm going to open your eyes to things you don't even know. There are promises for you and I. There are things that God wants to do in my life. There are things that God wants to do in your life. Amen. And so we have this promise from him that, hey, if you just call to me, I'll respond to you. I like that assurance when it comes to my prayer life. I take it by faith no matter how I feel. Sometimes I don't feel like God hears me. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. Sometimes I don't feel like being vulnerable, or I don't feel certain things, but I like knowing that my God says, well, it doesn't matter, because if you call, I answer. And if you come to me, I will come to you. Come on, I just like that assurance. And so today we're going to go into this fourth installment. And again, it's a prayer that we see King David. If you know anything about the Bible, David was Israel's greatest king. I mean, he was phenomenal. He's one of the great leaders in Scripture. He's just an unbelievable person. The Bible says this. God said this of him. He said, David is a man after my own heart. You want to talk about a compliment? I mean, my goodness, if ever there was a compliment to be had, I think that would be one of the most prestigious things that could ever be said about us. David was a warrior. David was a brilliant leader. David understood how to prepare things. He even set his successor up to be successful as the king of Israel. He was a phenomenal leader, but David had ups and he had downs. David made mistakes. He had sin. He had stuff in his life. I mean, he was so real and so normal. It's one of the reasons I love this story of David, because we get to see how God can use somebody so imperfect and so flawed, but when they have a heart for God, God can do immeasurable things through those people, which gives me confidence, and I hope it gives you confidence, because here's what I know about me, is that I am also flawed and imperfect and don't have it all together and certainly make a lot of mistakes and I have regrets in my life, but I love the fact that God can still use me when my heart is right. And so I want to take you to this prayer, and we're gonna look at it together. It's found in Psalm 139. If you never know what to read in your Bible and you're just looking for something to read this week, the chapter of Psalms 139 is a phenomenal, just the whole thing. But at the very end, David prays this very, very dangerous prayer, and here's the title of it right here, "Search Me." Search me. I think this may be the most dangerous prayer we've even talked about so far. When David says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Today we're going to break this down. We're going to break it down into four parts. I've got 4 points. So if you're a note taker, and I see some of you are note takers, if you're at home and you're watching and you like taking notes, get your pen out, write some things with me. We're going to break this prayer down into 4 different parts today. And we're going to talk this prayer, "Search me." Search me. When we are brave and bold enough to pray this prayer before our Heavenly Father, we are really opening all things up. I don't know if you're anything like me, but there are a lot of times in my life, even now, that there are times in my life where I'm like, "God, I want you to have your way, but don't touch that. God, I just want you to use me for your kingdom, but I'll keep this in the closet. God, please just lead me and guide me and speak to me and use me, but don't look in the dark corner. I don't want you to go there. I'm not ready to deal with that yet." The prayer, "Search me," is an open invitation for God to just open up the closets and look under our bed and see into the dark corners of our hearts and really to have an inventory, to take a look. I'm going to look on the inside. It's a very, very dangerous thing because how many of you know he's going to find something? Y'all remember when y'all were kids and you had to do chores? Remember that? How many of you guys had a parent that was going to come behind you? Anybody have like the white glove parent? Maybe literally, but like figuratively at least. You know what I mean? They were going to put on the white glove and See all that? See all that? Let's get that one more time. Where are my people at? It's stressful. How many of you guys always did those chores with like unbelievable pressure? Like, "Oh, dear God. I hope they're too busy to come look at this," right? How many of you just knew that no matter what, like you just felt like your efforts were never going to be good enough? Come on, where are you at? I felt that way sometimes. Can I just tell you something? When we're brave enough to pray the prayer, "God, search me," can I just tell you something? He's going to find some things. And here's why. Because we are very imperfect, flawed people. Can I put you at ease? Nobody that's brave enough to pray this prayer is going to get off free. Nobody. There's always something inside of us that God says, "Hey, if we can just adjust this, there's a blind spot you have here. Hey, I really want to dig into this with you. Hey, you and I both know we need to do something about that." It just is what it is. The question is not, is God going to find something? The question really is, am I brave enough to say, "God, search me"? So let's break this prayer down. We're going to do it in 4 parts. We'll break it down. Notice that he says, "Search me, God, and know my heart." Write this down if you're a note taker. The first thing that David prays is, "God, search my heart." How many of you guys ever heard the expression, "Man, they have a good heart. That person is so good-hearted. Oh, they just have the best heart." Some of you guys feel that way about yourselves. "I just have a good heart. I just have a good heart." Right? I'm good-hearted. I'm like a nice guy. I mean, she's amazing. I mean, how could you not love my mom? Like that kind of thing. They're just such good-hearted people. Can I just go ahead and just crush your hopes and dreams right now? Can I tell you something? Outside of Jesus, none of us have a good heart. None of us. And I understand the expression, because the expression is that, hey, this person's well-intended, or they're very kind, or, you know, they're just very loving or whatever. And what we're trying to say is that they're mostly good. They're mostly good. The reality is all of us have heart issues. All of us have heart issues. And when we go before God and say, God, would you search my heart? He's going to definitely find some things that need tweaking and need adjusting. Look what the Bible says. The human heart is what? The most deceitful of all things. Ouch. It's a very deceitful thing. And it happens to us all the time. Happens to us all the time. I mean, people say things like, listen, I'm not lustful. I don't have lust in my life. I just appreciate a really nice physique. I'm not prideful. I don't have a prideful heart. I can't help it that I'm the best at what I do. I'm not materialistic. I'm not a materialistic person. I just appreciate nice things. The heart is very deceptive. And what I've learned in my own life is that sometimes I let my deceitful heart do too much talking, bias my mind into a way of thinking, and then I justify myself without really being brave enough to every once in a while do an inventory and say, God, would you search my heart? It's important that we pray this dangerous prayer, because the Bible says this, that above all else, we should guard the heart. Why? Why is it so important? Why is that more important than anything else? Because everything you do comes from it. Everything you do comes from it. Can I tell you something? Every sin, it's a heart problem. Every mindset problem, it's a heart problem. Every mistake, it's a heart problem. And it's like, man, you're being hard on us, aren't you? I mean, that's a little bit tough. I'm just expanding on what God's word says. What he says is that everything in your life, like everything that you do, it comes from your heart. So it's important that you guard your heart. Guard against the things that want to deceive your heart. Guard against the temptations of your heart. Don't let your heart begin to lie to your mind so that you buy into something that really isn't true. Don't justify things away continually all the time. The Bible says, guard your heart. So when we get dangerous and say, oh God, would you search me? It's dangerous because God says, all right, you asked for it. But can I tell you something? The heart of our God is perfect and pure. It is whole and complete. Here's what we don't have. We don't have a heavenly Father that says, I'm going to get you. Oh, you want me to search your heart? You just wait and see what I do. And he just starts flipping stuff out and freaking out on us. How about this, huh? How about that thing? Like, I don't really know where that came from. There's something in my past, I think. That's not the God we serve. The Father that we have says, hey, I see some things, and I care for you so much. Can we deal with this? I want to expose something to you. Hey, if you continue to have this dark corner in your heart, it's going to prevent you from going everywhere I want you to go. It's going to prevent you from reaching the people I'm calling you to reach. It's actually going to hold you back from the freedom that you really long for. If you hang on to this, it's really going to stop you. It's a brave prayer for us to say, okay, God, search my heart. Search my heart. Because we're afraid of what he might find. The second part of David's prayer is this. He says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Here's what he says. Reveal my fears. Reveal my fears. What am I afraid of? I've said this before in the series, by the way, that I'm not the originator of this series. I'm understudying this from one of my heroes in the faith. And as I was watching this installment of Pastor Craig Groeschel's Dangerous Prayer series, he started to talk here a little bit, and I was resonating amazingly, that's me, like you and me, exactly what he was describing, like that's how I feel. I think that's mean. Here's what he said. I want to make sure that I get it right. Pastor Craig Groeschel said this: what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. What we fear the most exposes to us where we trust God the least. And here's what I've recognized about myself. Like, I'm a very, I say this like sometimes, that I'm a very motivated person. Very self-motivated. I'm pretty independent. Like, nobody has to wake me up in the morning. I say that sometimes. Like, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that you got to spur into action. I'm driven is certainly a word that's been used about me. I measure my entire life, my days, even my off days, by what I achieved that day. Like, if I can't look back and say, I did this, I conquered that, overcame this, I organized that, I feel like the whole day's been a failure. I'm so driven, in fact, I have to help myself know how to rest. My wife says I don't rest well. She says you always have to be doing something. You're always busy. And what I've discovered about myself is that for me to actually have adequate rest, I have to make it as something to achieve. So I actually have to say to myself, today or tomorrow's my day off, and I will rest. And if I set that as the goal, and then I look back and say, I mean, I didn't do nothing. I didn't mow the grass, I didn't clean the windows, I didn't wipe down the dashboard of my truck, nothing. But if the agenda was rest, then I've accomplished something, and I can go to sleep that night, kinda. But I've recognized something as I've prepared for this message. One of the things that I've recognized is, and this is me, I've been very vulnerable in this entire series, and this is just something where I'm going to be very vulnerable with you, that I've discovered about myself, that I am enormously afraid to fail. It terrifies me. Like, I want to win. I want to be the best that I can possibly be. I want to face a challenge and beat it. Come on. I want to make sure that my life had meaning and that it mattered. And at the end of the day, if I haven't conquered something, achieved something, checked something off of a box, done something, then in my mind, it equates to failure. I'm afraid of failure. And so when I ask God, search my heart and know my anxious thoughts, I've discovered that I find myself terribly afraid to lose, fail, not serve well, not be there for somebody. Let me say it like this: I'm afraid to be inadequate. And what tends to happen is that I am driven from fear, not faith. This is dangerous. It's dangerous. Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. I can't have my sole motivation being driven out of fear. It's got to be driven in faith in God. Right. I'm trying to learn to rewire my thinking. God, how can I operate in a very passionate way out of faith, not out of a fearful way of not wanting to lose or to be inadequate or to fail people or to make a mistake or to do something stupid? And so in me, this is my vulnerable place this week, everybody. I'm going there, all right? I got tissues behind the TV. I haven't cried once. Amen. Because I need God to search my heart. And when I ask God, hey, search my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, I started to dig down and discover that, you know what? My drive, which many people will applaud, oh man, that's great. Oh man, you did this. And then all of a sudden, I find my affirmation in the wrong places. And if I'm driven out of fear, I'm living to please you. But if I'm driven from faith, I'm living to please God. There is a difference. And so I've recognized that, hey, I need to make sure that I'm actually being driven from the right place. Come on, anybody getting anything out of this? The Bible says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So when God begins to search your heart and he tests you and starts to find your anxious thoughts, When he begins to reveal to you your fears, understanding that's where I'm trusting God the least, then let's pray about those things. God, help me to be motivated from the right place. Father, help me not to be afraid of my finances falling apart. God, help me trust that you are my provider. Father, help me not to be afraid of the medical report that I've received. Help me to understand that you are my healer. Father, help me not to be afraid about what's going to happen in the life of my family member. Help me to trust that you are their father too. Father, help me, God, please, to trust you, not to be afraid, not to have anxious thoughts, to operate from faith, not fear. Amen, everybody? Amen. For time, we're going to move on. I could go very, very deep. I think I could probably teach a series out of these two verses. I'm just kind of hitting high points for us. Next thing he prays is this: see if there's any offensive way in me. Uh-oh. This is where we start ducking. Right here. This is where we start ducking. Here's what he says: uncover my sin. Ouch. Can I say something? I think this is why it gets so dangerous. This is where it could really start to get very personal and start to hurt, is when we say, God, would you expose to me my sins? Can I just say something very boldly? Can I proclaim something to us today? That we have something in our lives called sin. Sin. It's like a thing. I believe with all my heart that heaven is real. God, I know to be real, and he has a home, and a place for us. He says that he's preparing a place for us. I have full confidence in this. The Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I know who my God is. But there's something we have to be like cognizant of. We need to understand and we need not forget it. And I'm just, you know, preachers and churches and church families, we've got to be okay to say some things that if all of that is real, there's an opposite side of that that is real. Like there is an enemy and his name is Satan. And the Bible tells me that he has come to steal, to kill, and destroy my life. There's a spiritual battle going on in the heavenly realms. There is a fight for our souls. And sin is a thing that taints and tarnishes and takes us away from the heart of God. The Bible talks about it. It says that we should address it and that we should deal with it. The Bible uses words like repentance, just to change the way we think, which then changes the way we act and it changes the way that we live. It's a dangerous thing to say, God, would you uncover my sins? Would you expose to me the things that are happening in my life that are taking me away from you? Can I tell you something? God has been pointing at some stuff in my life, and I'm not telling you about that. But he's been pointing at some things that I have to say, all right, God, all right, God. The Bible even says to him who knows what to do and doesn't do it, to him, it's sin. And there are just times where we can justify it because, well, she gets to do it. Like, how come they can do it? God, why are you talking to me about this? Well, because God's dealing with your heart. You may be in a different place with your Heavenly Father than they are. God may have a different call on you than they have. And it doesn't make one better than the other. It just means that God's dealing with you because he loves you. You're his child. Amen. The Bible says if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Who is the truth? His name is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But watch this promise, 1 John 1:9. I love it. I love this verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. Isn't that nice to know? God, I see it too. I know, and I know that I've got problems, and I know that things pull me away from your heart, and I know that I make mistakes, and God, I'm fighting that. I'm trying, and I know that I keep falling back into it, and God, I know you're dealing with me, and my heart is open, so look on the inside. I give you permission. God, I want to overcome it, but it's a battle for me. Listen to me carefully. Every time we fall, there's a promise that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just. He will forgive you, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I'm a preacher warning just real fast, all right? Stop letting your mistakes cause you to run away from the face of the Father. That's not the God you serve. It's not the God you serve. This is why Jesus died for us. This is why his blood was shed, because it removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. So far has he taken our sin from us. That's what the Bible says. And so mess it up again. But inside you're saying, I'm trying. God, I want to overcome. My heart is to beat this. Go to the Father and receive your forgiveness. He will give it to you. Come on, it's when we protect our sin is a different thing. But if you're in the battle, keep fighting, man. Stand in the center of the ring and just throw your hands. Fight, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. All right, for time, we're going to move on. I'm going to land the plane. Here we go. Then he says, see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I love it. I love it. Here's what he says. Very simple. Not going to surprise you. Lead me. So David has said, search me, test me, show me my anxious thoughts, uncover my sin. Now, God, lead me. Would you lead me? Would you take me toward your heart? Would you take me toward your purpose? Would you take me toward your plan? Would you take me into the direction that you want me to go? We have a Father that says, yep. Yes, I would love to lead you, because I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He told Jesus, he told his disciples, I want you to go. I want you to go, and I want you to preach the gospel to everybody. I want you to make disciples of every nation. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to raise the dead. I mean, he like gives them like a bunch of verbs. He tells them like, go, do all this stuff. Matthew chapter 10, go get it done. And then he says, and by the way, I will be with you always, even till the end of the age. We have a Heavenly Father that walks with us, and he leads us into the path of righteousness. He leads us to the way everlasting. He says, just take a walk with me. Come on, stay with me. Keep your heart open. Be brave enough to allow me to search your heart, and I'll lead you. I'll show you. I'll give you victory. I will show you things you didn't even know were possible. I will lead you. The Bible says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Let's allow God to lead us. The prayer that we're praying this week is, search me. I would encourage you to go to Psalm 139. Look at these verses in your prayer time and walk through these four thoughts. Some of them, one may be popping out to you more than the other. It's a challenge for us all, challenging myself. I promise you that most times I preach to me and hope that it benefits you. It's true. You're like, man, you're always talking right to me. I'm like, no, I'm talking to me. I'm just glad it helps you too. And the challenge for our church is that we would be brave enough to say, God, search me. Search me. We truly have a good Father. He's a good Father. And I recognize that a lot of people don't have great images of what a father should be or is. I get it. A lot of people come from fatherless homes, broken homes, whatever it is. Some of us have unbelievable dads, like, oh my gosh, my hero, my role model, like that's all good. But like, even the best of fathers are flawed. Like, our God is the good Father. Can I just tell you something? And some of you may need to hear this. Like, he only wants to search your heart because he wants the very best for you. He isn't trying to get you, and he's not trying to make you miserable. He just knows, hey, if we can work on these things, I can take you to places and you can impact people and you can make a difference like you never thought possible. Oh, if you would just allow me to search your heart, I would tweak and I would point, and together we would work through these things. God is not going to say, go fix it. I'm coming back with my white glove. Like, he's the God that says, I'm going to lead you into how to overcome this sin. Come on. No, I'm going to lead you how to conquer this fear of yours I'm with you. I am for you. And I want to see the best in you. This is truly the God that we serve. Amen. With every head bowed all across the auditorium, nobody looking around, I believe that perhaps there is somebody in this room, perhaps somebody watching online, listening to a podcast, however you may be receiving this content, that maybe you've never made a decision to follow Christ, like to let him into your heart. For you today, the prayer, "Search me," could be the first time you've ever opened your heart up to him. And so what I want to encourage you to do is be brave enough to pray today this dangerous prayer. What I want to guarantee you is that God will lead you to the way everlasting, relationship with him. You can know the truth, and he will set you free. And so here's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sin. Like, we're adopted into the family of God. We become children of God. So this morning, I just believe that some of you are being led by the Spirit to say yes to a relationship with Christ Jesus. And here's what I want to do. I just want to help you. I want to help you. I actually believe that you're already at a point where the Holy Spirit, you didn't even know that's who it was, but the Holy Spirit of God is moving on your heart in such a powerful way that you're like, yes, I'm ready to receive. So your heart's already there. You already believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. What you may struggle with is just like, well, how do I make that confession? I want to be saved. That's where I'm going to help you. I actually want to lead you in a prayer, and there's nothing special about this prayer. It's just a prayer that'll help guide you to a confession from your mouth about what's in your heart, because I want you to know Jesus like I have the privilege to know Jesus. We as a church family want you to know Jesus like we have the privilege to know Jesus. We also have been saved from our sin. We are sons and we are daughters of the Most High King. And so, church, you know how we do it. I always ask everybody in the room to help me with this prayer, because if you're making this decision and saying this prayer for the first time, I want you to be able to say it really boldly, really confidently between you and God. This is your moment with him. And then if you want to take a next step later and say, man, I want to make a public profession of my faith, we have ways to help you do that. For example, baptism next Saturday morning would be a great opportunity for you to take that next step. But if that's you, let's pray that prayer today. Come on, everybody help me. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am, it is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Come on, church. Would you give God some praise? Congratulate those that made that decision.